I accepted Jesus into my heart around the age of 5, and if I close my eyes, I can still see my grandmother in her evening duster, tucking in the sheets around my bed as she spoke to me about Jesus. The prayer that my grandmother led me in that night changed the course of my life because I saw that she had a very special friendship with God, and I wanted that too. And after I invited Jesus into my life became different, partly because I gained access to God through the power of prayer. But as I grew older, things changed. Not overnight, but slowly. Disappointments, financial stress, the increasing pressures of life as a wife and a mother exposed a real weakness in my walk with God. I was inclined to figure things out on my own before I turned with the Lord to the childlike faith that I had when I first accepted Jesus into my life. The Bible teaches us that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, and I would add a personal note to that. Those prayers are the glue that keeps us close to His heart. I want to invite you to join me for the month of April as I lead you in a study of the life-changing power of prayer. I cannot wait to see what God's going to do in your life as you learn to better appreciate what access to Him is all about. You can join me by going to faiththatspeaks.com. That's faiththatspeaks.com. Head on over there and sign up, and I will see you for the April Bible study. Well, hey, everybody, this is Heidi St. John. Welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. Today, you guys are in for a treat because my friend, Dr. Mark Sherwood, who happens to be a fan favorite, is back on the show, and we are going to be answering listener questions. We're going to hit everything from, should my husband be on Viagra to help me figure out how to detox from vaccinations? This is going to be a jam-packed conversation. You are going to love it. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. I'm glad you guys have tuned in. I want to remind you that I am in the middle of my Bible study right now for women over at Faith That Speaks. This month's study is called Gifts Gone Wrong, Bad Girls of the Bible. And trust me when I say you can learn something from a bad girl in the Bible. And we are. We're learning from Herodias. We're learning from Delilah, just to name two of them. And as a matter of fact, God gave these women gifts and they used them not for good, but for evil. And so we're taking a little bit of a deep dive into these four women. Next month, we're going to be doing a study on prayer, and I have written probably over 60 studies in my lifetime, and I think this one might be my favorite. I have learned so much. God's been putting so much on my heart with regard to prayer and just how powerful it is. And I think we just forget, you know, we forget that we're praying to the God who spoke the world into being and who is Jehovah Rapha, our healer and our provider. He's El Roy, the God who sees, and we have access to Him through Jesus Christ. So you guys come on out and join me for the Faith That Speaks community Bible studies, and you can find them at faiththatspeaks.com. All right, without further ado, Mark Sherwood, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to see you. I love the idea of both of those Bible studies. I encourage people to get involved because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from what? The word of God. How do you hear? How do you know unless you're told? So I appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun for me over the years to write the studies because everyone knows, you know, who's learning more, the teacher or the student? It's the teacher because you got to get in there and really dig in and do the work of studying the Bible. And I have just loved it. So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you bring your hydrogen water bottle today?
You know, I did. And it's right here. And all okay. I need to do is push the button.
All right. I already pushed my button, but I'll do it again.
We could do like that Indy 500 thing where they say, and so we'll say, gentlemen, start your engine. And ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Okay, go. Oh, you got ahead of me. You're ready. Okay, there goes mine.
Okay, right. Boom, I'm going. So put it on 10.
We keep getting questions here about these beautiful water bottles and why they work and how they work. But also, I would like to say that I found out something about this bottle that you may not know. You want to hear it?
Please, absolutely.
Okay. I took it with me. You can take it with you, you know, traveling, whatever. And then if you unscrew the top part of it, you could actually screw in a regular water bottle to this this little opening right here and then turn it upside down and it will generate hydrogen for that
bottle.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either. I read about it because I was like, one of my kids asked me about hydrogen water and we were talking about it because I drink it all the time now.
Yeah.
And one of my kids was like, hey, mom. And so something about the bottle. So I looked it up online and you can, obviously like turn it upside down, screw that water bottle onto it, and then turn it right side up, turn it on, and bam.
Okay, I just learned a new toy. I love this. I love it even more now, really.
I know. I'm telling you.
How amazing is that?
Yeah. And so why, again, is hydrogen good for us?
Okay, in a nutshell, when you have hydrogen infused into the water becomes simply a carrier of the hydrogen. It does not change the molecular structure of the water. It doesn't go H3O or anything like that. It's still H2O with H2 in it. And so water carries the hydrogen in your body, hydrogen being the smallest molecular structure in the periodic table of elements, crosses every barrier of the body. It's so small, there's no space it can't enter. Its function is going to be to eliminate or mitigate excessive free radicals, which are molecules that actually are damaging to other cells. So when they damage other cells, they create chronic systemic inflammation, which leads to disease processes. So by simply drinking your water, it goes systemic around the whole body in 15 minutes. And I do 2 or 3 or 4 of those a day, and you can do it all day long if you want to. And we're talking about a real cool way to preserve cellular health and really the biological aging processes and speeds.
Yeah, I really, I can't speak highly of it enough. And I've got a couple of friends now who are drinking hydrogen water out of the same bottle and they're loving it. So I just thought, man, it's a great, and by some miracle, maybe it's the hydrogen's helping my memory. I don't know. I actually remembered to bring mine today. So I would just like to say, you know, yay me. I had a little bit of a win. Let's start with a question from Donna in Pennsylvania. It's kind of a multifaceted question. So I'm going to read it to you, and it's a little bit of a three-parter. You and I were talking about it before we started recording today. It says, Dear Heidi, I listen to your show frequently, and I love the things you stand for. Well, thank you, Donna. I have a question for Dr. Sherwood. Overall, my husband did not have the best healthy upbringing. Man, we can relate to this, right, Mark? His family basically lived on Burger King, and then he went to the Marines, and he was vaccinated all over again. He drank water at Camp Lejeune. And then he came out sicker than ever. He's currently 52 years old. Now we eat mostly organic. I try to take care of him as best I can. He has high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and he takes medicine for that. He has asthma and sleep apnea. He wants to stop taking the medicine because there's so many side effects. He hates the CPAP machine. But when he exerts himself, he's wheezing. Yes, he's a mess. I need your help. What can we do to heal his body naturally? So that's a three-parter right there.
That's a three or more parter, actually.
Yeah.
So Donna, first of all, thank you. Thank you for caring about your husband enough to ask the question. I think that's very honorable. And I want you to get this answer and go ahead and show it to your husband because it's going to be important. I want you to tell him from me, thank you for your service to our country. That's super honorable right there.
Yeah,
really appreciate you, sir, for doing that. Yeah. A lot of us were brought up in not the best health environments because we didn't know any better, right?
That's right.
So, you can't sort of blame somebody for being ignorant at the time. Ignorant is not a bad word. It just means you don't know, right? You're just doing it blind. And so, and obviously the water situation at Camp Lejeune has been well documented with its problems and now the class action lawsuits. But having said that, I believe, Donna, that the body is capable of recovering, rebuilding, restoring, and defending itself. I really believe that. I believe God made it that way or we'd all be dead right now.
Right.
The bottom line is when you begin to feed him organic foods like that and keep the processed foods out, you and both he are doing a very good job at giving the body what it needs to do what it does. So I think that's a class A, step 1A, wonderful job there.
Good job, Donna.
Now, with the high blood pressure part and the high cholesterol, I'll start at the high cholesterol part. Cholesterol, or in other words, what we measure to be LDL cholesterol and then total cholesterol, do not, and I repeat, do not in themselves correlate to increased risk of heart disease. That is a false statement that's been perpetuated for the last 35, 40 years. Again, LDL and total cholesterol do not directly correlate to heart disease. What really happens is when those molecules get damaged and small, not quite as small as hydrogen, but they get small enough where they become stuck in your vessel wall. The proper way to test those lipids, cholesterols, are going to be through testing other markers, such as advanced lipid testing. I know this is going to sound a little complicated, but you need to ask your doctor about this. Lipid fractionation, or you're looking at the size of the particles. One can have elevated LDL and still not have heart disease. One can also have small LDL and still have heart disease. It's all about the particle sizes. You need to be checking it. Additionally, statin drugs deplete the progression of the development of cholesterol. Therefore, you can get low vitamin D and low other hormones because hormones are constructed from cholesterol. So you can get all kinds of problems created from that. So your husband's desire to get off medicines is a wise one, but you need to do that with a clear strategy to do that, which includes, you know, working with a practitioner hand in hand. Blood pressure. Have your husband begin to take some magnesium. I prefer magnesium glycinate form between 300 and 600 milligrams. Magnesium is known as the great relaxer. It can relax that smooth muscle cell of the vascular system to create a little more vasodilation or relaxation to cause blood pressure to go down. I also like adding nitric oxide generated wafers. Those are amazing. And that also can create more vasodilation or relaxation. So those are some things you can do. Also know that medications pull out nutrients, such as most blood pressure medications pull out vitamin B and even some magnesium. And then the statin drugs pull out coenzyme Q10, which can create sometimes muscle pain and certainly fatigue and exhaustion. Additionally, when you talk about the asthma and the CPAP machine, clean the CPAP machine. Look at that around the ceiling portion, around where the nose and the mouth are, because a lot of times it gets grimy and dirty and it gets bacteria built up, which can generate those allergies all the time. And so that's part of the thing you want to look at as far as that goes. And then when you have that cleaned out, first action is to see if it helps symptomatology-wise. And if not, you might look at increasing some natural antihistamines such as vitamin C, which helps a lot in the process. So Donna, that was a big old bunch of answers there. I hope that you got all that and really believe it's going to help you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, I'm kind of amazed that you remembered all that as I was going through it. I was like, I'm going to have to give you a prompt. And I never even did because you just, bam, you just had it. Good job. Here. Good job. All right. We're going to go to the next question. And it is from Leah in Alaska. And she says, thank you for your wonderful podcast and content. Leah, you are welcome. Can I please ask Dr. Mark what I can do about my type 2 diabetic husband who doesn't want to change his diet from the standard American diet? So we hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. And I guess on top of what you're going to say, I also wonder if you can speak to just what you said a few weeks ago, which was start small. You know, it's, you don't have to just jump in with this massive, because you're going to set yourself up to fail, right? We can start small. I think sometimes we see that our husband or our child or somebody is struggling. And I think as women, especially, we just want to come in like, okay, here's the overhaul. And then you end up being just discouraged. So I had a friend who told me one time, just start today. You know, if you want to, three things you want to do, you want to lose weight, you want to drink water, you want to exercise, start with drinking water, make a habit of drinking water. Then you thought, I had some victory in this area, and then move on to the next area and add something to it. There's some to be said, right, Mark, for starting these things out in increments.
Well, there really is. You know, sometimes we kind of view life as all or nothing.
Yes.
But even with our sanctification process, you know, with the Lord, we know God is a forgiving God. He's full of mercy and grace. That doesn't mean we have a license to steal with this hyper grace that we see sometimes taught. There is responsibility there. So we have to have a plan. The plan is one step at a time. A baby doesn't learn to run at first. They learn to crawl, walk, and sometimes they fall down. Not that you want to fall down, but you should get up and start walking before you run. Because if you don't, you're going to fall down. That's a fact. One thing at a time. You know, when we talk about changing people, Leah, you're in a situation where that's going to be your best buddy, your pal, your friend. Mm-hmm. So don't nag them. Now, I'm serious about this. Don't nag them, because coming from you, they don't hear things very well. That's the way it works in marriage situations. Now, I encourage you to lead the way with love and kindness and servanthood. And when you fix a meal, try to do your best to fix healthy meals if you're fixing the meals. And when you're, if you have kids, like Heidi just said, start off with one meal a day, maybe a smoothie. Find something your husband likes that's actually healthy. Repeat often, right? Get your husband to put tennis shoes on and have him walk to the mailbox and back with you. I know it sounds corny, but really it's about spending time together. Find activities you like.
Yeah.
Do them more. Even if it's like walking or bowling or whatever, find something he likes to do and do it with him. If it's activity, that's good. So start small, exhibit, model lifestyle in a constructive, loving, kind way, much like Jesus does for us. He doesn't make us do anything. He just shows us the way continually and constantly in an unwavering way. And that's what I encourage you to do. And pray that your husband hears God encourage him with that. Remember, you can't change a heart. Only God has that control. So just start slow, go low, pray daily, and model it continuously.
So good. It's so good. And I love that when you're talking to listeners, you're recognizing this is hard, right? This is a discipline. We're trying to make a lifestyle change. Hey, we can go in this direction. Now we want to turn around and go that direction. And you got to be willing to do that, to do those things in increments. We had a listener from Texas write in, an anonymous listener who is faithful, she says, to the podcast and loves it. Thank you for all your wisdom and encouragement. She says she has been in a loving and happy marriage for 13 years. As the years have progressed, our loving activity in the bedroom has slowed down, not on my part, though. Is there anything Dr. Mark can suggest for my husband to take besides Viagra? He's healthy. He gets plenty of exercise. He's also pre-diabetic. So I wonder if this has something to do with this condition. Thank you so much. It's a great question.
It really is. And anonymous in Texas, I again appreciate and honor you for having the courage, because this is not a unique situation. I want you to know that. I hear this all the time. My wife hears it all the time. It's not just the guy sometimes. Sometimes the girl. There's a variety of reasons that can contribute to loss of or lack of libido. Stress is a big one. That's a big deal. And for guys, you need to know this. This is important. When they feel inadequate and they feel like they cannot perform, et cetera, it can get inside of their head and it can hurt their heart. So reassurance on your part is important, whatever that looks like. That's kind of an important thing to know. It is not healthy to be pre-diabetic. I want you to know that. That you can't out-exercise, out-pray away, out-supplement away a bad diet. You just can't do that. So the reason there's probably some either erectile dysfunction or lack of libido could be a circulatory issue. When the blood system gets sticky, i.e. the diabetic, blood doesn't circulate well to the genitalia or even around the periphery. It stays more centrally located. It's like driving a car down the road with potholes everywhere. It doesn't get to the destination very, very easily. And so you want to encourage your husband to start eating better. And as I said in the previous one for Leah in Alaska, model it out a little bit better. Model it well. And you can actually see him begin to do that. Encourage him when there is a time where, let's just put it like bluntly, it goes well in the bedroom. Make sure you shower him with compliments. I'm serious about that. It's so important, because otherwise it becomes a one-sided issue. I'll give you the antithesis of that. It would be like, geez, why don't you ever want it? You know, if you say that, it's over. You're going to hurt the heart with a dagger of the tongue. So just make sure that we always walk through this. Couples need to have open, honest, very clear, unafraid dialogue about this area. That is healthy. It is not healthy to not talk about it. So I'm glad you asked your question. As far as Viagra goes and the Cialis and the Sildenafils of the world, Tadalafils, those actually are not too bad. The way they work is at the base of the penis, there's a valve that sort of closes, a door that shuts, and it traps blood inside. And they're called PDE5 phosphodiesterase inhibitors. In other words, they keep the rusty door hinges closed. So those are not bad, and I haven't seen them have very many negative side effects. So I wouldn't shy away from those one bit. There's also a peptide that you could look at called PT, as in Paul Tom, 141. That is amazing. That actually works in the brain. So if stress is a problem and maybe there's less morning erections, for example, PT-141 is the way to go. So good eating, good exercise, good sleep, de-stressing, communication. Use those Cialis Viagra things and the PT-141, and let's believe that the spark returns to that bedroom again.
I love that. And just encouraging. And I agree with you. I so appreciate it when we get questions like this, because they're hard to ask. And you kind of wonder, man, wonder what other people are going to think. But I'm telling you what, we get questions like this all the time. I know you do as well. And God wants your marriage to be healthy and happy. And he wants your sex life to be off the charts. He wants it to be good, right? God gave sex to you as a gift inside of marriage. And it is the glue. I think there's just so many things. My husband and I are going to be celebrating our 35th anniversary this summer.
Yay.
And I know, right? Yay. And we were just the other day talking about, I cannot believe, Mark, I cannot believe how fast our lives are going by. I just feel like we're like at the whizzing phase now, right? Where everything's just whizzing by, like on the freeway. And Jay said to me, I'm just so thankful that God's given us all of these years to enjoy each other with so many memories that we have. And this is an area of our lives that we have worked on and even prayed over. And I think I would encourage you, Anonymous, I mean, take it to the Lord in prayer. He cares about this aspect of your marriage. He gave it to you, and pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Like I said, right now, I'm getting ready to release a new study on prayer. And we were talking about the very personal nature of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I have sought the Lord about my husband many times. Me and my husband, just seasons of exhaustion or whatever, especially when we had little ones at the home all the time. And God is faithful, and he'll answer those prayers. So I love Mark, your counsel on that, Dr. Mark's counsel on that. And just this reminder that God cares about this part of your marriage. He made it. He cares about it. Dr. Mark, let's jump into the ever evolving. Actually, wait, my timer went off. How's your water?
Mine's I'm thirsty.
Are you? Okay. Let's open. You ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, go.
Here we go. I love that.
Me too.
Pressure.
Yes. Okay.
Cheers.
Or in Espanol, for you.
Como se dice? Salud.
Salud. Oh, that's good.
I feel my age reversing right now before
me too. Oh my goodness. You're like Benjamin Button. You're just aging in reverse.
Yeah, I didn't. I just had my 90th. And it's really been experience for the last century.
Okay, that's good. I don't mind telling you. I don't mind telling you. Mm-mm-mm.
It's such a healthy habit to be drinking water. I've noticed about this, and this is something our listeners can utilize. It's a simple tool. By having this available, just because we know what it does and it looks different, we see it, we end up drinking more water more often. And that's always a good habit.
True. Yeah. And that has absolutely been true for me. I just took my husband and our daughter Sailor to the ocean. We just went there for a couple of days. Man, Mark, you missed it. 75 degrees on the Oregon coast. It's phenomenal. And I brought my water bottle with me, and I had them fill it up at the restaurant, and they were like, "Whoa, what's going on with the bubbles in your I was like, "It's hydrogen water, man. You should try
That's it.
You know, I'm in like the, you know, Oregon, like the hemp capital of the world. You know, everybody's toking up, and I'm like drinking hydrogen water. It was great. It was super
maybe they
great.
can they can use that to chase down their after they inhale from the bong. You know, right. That might be at least something that can mitigate free radical damage of the molecular burn structure that's coming.
Right.
In. Just a thought.
Right. Molecular burn structure.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to drink an awful lot of water to undo that damage. So just don't do that.
I think so.
Okay. So let's jump into, there's two topics I want to talk about with you for the next couple of minutes here. The first one is vaccines. So I'm not even reading all the questions that come in about vaccines because they are just rolling in, right? So many people going, what in the world, you know, starting to really wonder out loud about the connection between, you know, autism and vaccines. I told you, I saw a super funny video of like a, you know, middle-aged guy sitting in his car going, so let me get this straight. Mercury in my fish, bad. Mercury in vaccines, good. Aluminum in my deodorant, bad. Aluminum in vaccines, good. And I was like, oh my word. And he went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I told you, I looked up, I was trying to find this guy's video, but I couldn't find it. But I did find this. Africa Fact Check, which is basically the Snopes of Africa. And they are vaccinating people by the gazillion over there, right? This is literally the headline, just published in January of 2023. This is literally the headline. No, mercury and aluminum are not toxic when used in vaccines.
Wow.
And I was just like, wait a second. Isn't a toxin a toxin is a toxin is a toxin is a toxin? I mean, Mark, Dr. Mark, help.
No, it's obvious. There is
you talk,
picking
I'll
and
drink
choosing.
My hydrogen water.
Yeah, it's like picking out a scripture out of context and making it doctrine. We see it all the time. It's the same process.
Yeah.
Look, when the body is exposed or a toxin is revealed or enters the body in any form, it activates the detox system. That makes it a toxin. No matter what it comes from, no matter what amount it's in, it's a toxin. And
it's
the body has one responsibility with toxins. It wants to recognize them, number one, and then convert them to a form that it can eliminate, number two, and then eliminate it through various things like sweat, stool, or urine. Now, that's the thing. Now, what the deal is with all the vaccines, there's no doubt that today, going back in the 80s at the induction of the Vaccine Protection Act, where the liability was transferred over to the government, you know, from the vaccine manufacturers, you had this carte blanche, c'est la vie, if you will, ability of the vaccines companies to just...
Because you can't sue them.
No, there's no way they're going to pay out any class action lawsuits. So you saw the amounts of vaccines exponentially increase to children 2 and under. And I think last time I looked, there were 66 vaccines were approved by the CDC. You go back, people can look this up, go back and look at the 70s and 80s, you might see less than 10, right, total.
Yeah.
So we've seen that. And at the same time in history, let us not forget that the food pyramid came upon us.
Come on.
So we had this double whammy of inflammation generating exposure from toxins and polluted foods. That's what we have. And so over the course of time, now we've got generations upon generations, like four generations deep now that have exposed this. And we're starting to see the real impact on this now, because early on, obviously you're exposed less, but now today everybody's exposed more earlier often. And so you're seeing children, for example, and I think it's all cause autism, as you mentioned, 1 in 40,000 40 years ago. Today, 1 in about 35. Those stats going forward, 1 in 2 by 2050. We're seeing autoimmune conditions exponentially increase to the tune of things that we've never seen before. We're seeing cancer in young people happen.
Amazing.
We're
it's
seeing
amazing.
Cancer is going to become the number one killer in our country, I believe, in the next 20 years. And it goes back to not paying attention to this. We've got to get back to independency, just like our declaration said, independent living of this system.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding taking the best things from it, but not accepting everything from it as it's the truth, because it's not working for us.
Right. And honestly, you cannot get, if you're doing, you know, a Google search, or even like, I don't know if like Swiss cows have been bought out by the globalists, but I used to use that search engine all the time. So I used to get on Swiss cows, and now the, you know, if you type in, you know, the increase in childhood vaccines, all you hear about is from the NIH and from, you know, the Department of Health and from the government and all this stuff. And I was reading an article that was, that came out in July of 2022 at nature.com, and it said the pandemic has driven the largest drop in childhood vaccinations in 30 years. And they're saying, you know, they're just, you know, raising the alarm because, you know, polio is going to come back and people are going to start dropping dead in the streets. And this is what they, this is the subtitle. It says last year alone, 25 million children missed out on immunizations against infections such as measles and polio, leading to avoidable outbreaks of disease. Now, I just want to reiterate, you've said this a million times. We are not anti-vaccine.
Right.
We are we're anti-informed consent, right? We, come on, you guys, we should be able to have informed consent. And also the dramatic increase that are your children have been given. Mark, I don't know what the number is. Maybe you do off the top of your head, but what we used to have when I was a kid, like in the early 70s, to what kids are getting now, the increase is ridiculous.
It was probably 5 vaccines up to 2 years old that were spread out back in that time frame. And now you're talking probably 30 years old, 30 in that time frame. It's just increased to almost unbelievable, unfathomable numbers. And, you know, I think that we need to understand that the whole idea of vaccines going back in the early 1900s probably wasn't a bad idea, because it's a unique science. Because if you look at the initial vaccine structures, you take this innate portion of a virus, for example, you put it in a shot and you put it in the body, and the body sees it if the part of that virus is not harmful, and it adapts to be able to respond to that later on. That's part of your body's unique adaptive and innate immune system, which is really cool.
It is.
But now you get this technology that's been a packaged program of creation of a protein. And there you get in a little bit of gray area, because now you don't know when the production of those proteins that are happen to be what we want the body to adapt to. We don't know how long they're going to replicate. We don't know how everybody's going to respond individually. And we have not accepted the idea that everyone responds differently and independently. And therein lies the problem. That's why some people today might have horrible outcomes. Some people might today might have no bad outcomes. It's going to be all the roadmap. But I can guarantee you this, this is true. Every single time you provoke the immune system unnecessarily, is going to be one less time it can handle a provocation in time. So provoke the immune system less, let it adapt naturally its ability to respond to the environment, like you're talking about. How does we get immune system strength? We go outside. We stick our fingers in other kids' mouth. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding to make a point.
But don't try this at home or at the church or any place else.
Remember playgrounds? You know, we'd get on the swings and all this.
Yeah, remember those?
And it was interesting. But that's how we grew our immunity. And we need to get outside more. Quit fearing viruses and bacteria so darn much, and let our kids play outside. And that's the best way to make your kids immune right there, in my opinion.
Did you see that the World Health Organization has downgraded COVID to the flu?
Yeah, I did.
Like, hey, guys, just want you to know we're here for your protection and your safety. And we are the World Health Organization. And it's OK to go outside. It's OK. It's OK. COVID is now just a flu. What do you make of this? Dr. Mark, what do you make of this?
Well, anytime a new strain of any sort of virus comes upon us, and this is just a general progression / regression of these viruses, they come out and they're generally new, so they have a more of an aggressive response, okay? And so when they spread population-wise, it become pretty ubiquitous, meaning they're existed everywhere and everybody's been exposed, not if, but when, you know, they tend to downgrade severity. And the downgrading of severity is makes them more contagious, but less lethal, right?
Yep,
and so we reached that point of what the World Health Organization said probably about late summer of 2020. That's how fast we got there. And yet we just freaked out. And I am very still critical of the speed at which we pushed that vaccine mess out there and created the largest experiment ever conducted on mankind at that time. Completely, totally based in fear. And I think, you know, we should have learned something. So I'm glad people are starting to question it. I mean, I don't want them to fear going to the doctor if they have an emergency. That would be not a good move. But question everything.
Yes. Do your own homework, for goodness sake. You want to hear a really interesting, you're going to get like the biggest charge out of this. This is Forbes, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Forbes magazine, February 12th, 2018. This is the headline. How did babies survive in the 1980s with half the doses of only 7 vaccines?
Every
baby today is given about 70 doses of 16 vaccines per the CDC. So how did babies survive in the 1980s with about half the doses of only 7 vaccines? And here's the answer that this is right out of the chute. Firstly, they didn't. Check out the death rates from herpes and shingles. Shingles develops almost exclusively as a reaction to the varicella zoster virus, which gives children the chicken pox. And they start talking about how many children died from the chicken pox. And I'm just thinking the fear mongering. Yeah. And it doesn't matter where you go. The legacy media, the mainstream media, Fox News, Forbes, it doesn't matter where you're at. They're all singing the same song. And it makes me furious, because the fear mongering against parents right now, I mean, I've got kids who are having babies. It's no joke to try to have a baby right now. They're going to pressure you into all kinds of things.
They are. And I, my wife and I would have this message for the parents. The kids to you are God's gift. God made productivity like that. He made you fertile to produce. Those kids are yours. Yeah. Trust him as the great physician to guide you in those decisions. He's the first person you consult with. Please do that. Do it with this intimate prayer, because like you mentioned, God cares about sex.
Yes.
Hey, newsflash, breaking, all that things we do to get people's attention. God cares about vaccines too. Yeah. He cares about your kids' safety. Please consult with him first. Really do that. And then don't listen to fear. Fear does not come from God.
Nope.
Fear is the first step of manipulation, distortion, and deception from the enemy. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. God is not about fear. God's about faith. When people get in fear, they get desperate and anxious and do dumb things. When people operate in faith, they're confident, they have courage, and do wise things. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Man, so good. We are out of time for the regular show. We're going to come back for the subscriber portion and answer a question from a listener about intermittent fasting.
Perfect.
People are looking ahead to the swimsuit season.
Look out.
And look out. We're going to help you get beach ready. If that's a goal of yours, or maybe you just want to feel better. Mark, will you come back and for the subscriber part of the show? We're going to tackle that topic.
I can't wait. Sounds good.
All right, you guys. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I got to tell you, Dr. Mark Schur was one of my favorite people on the planet, and you guys can find out more about him. He is available to help you. Go to Sherwood.tv/Heidi. Also, I will link back to, we have a special link for the water bottle. People keep asking us about it. I will put that in the show notes today. Check it out, you guys. We'll put some notes in the show notes today so you can understand a little bit more about hydrogen and how it works and why I am a super fan of drinking hydrogen water. And we hope you guys are taking this information to heart. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me directly, and I will pass these questions on to Dr. Mark at HeidiSt.John.com/mailboxMonday. We love you guys. Love your people well. Take care of each other. And I will see you right back here again at the intersection of faith